The Better on Draft podcast is sponsored by Three Nicks Scoreboard, located on Van Born Road, right off the Southfield Freeway.
Three Nicks Scoreboard is the perfect place to find delicious beer from one of their 20 taps, 26
high-def TVs to watch the games, and a new limited release beer every Friday. Stop by and tell them we sent ya. The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, and Kes.
The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, and Kes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 14 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Sitting with me, as always, my partners in crime. To my right, Dan.
Hey, oh, you went the wrong way. What's going on?
What's up? What are you drinking, another habanero sculpin?
No, that is in front of me. It's not open. See, I'm drinking that gumball head. Well, you're drinking, well, I'm going to let you say what you're drinking, but I took your good beer.
Yeah.
You said I could have it. It's not like I ganked it.
I've got like two cases of it still.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay. So I'm not too worried. So I'll be drinking that then in a couple of weeks at your house.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Nick, what are you drinking over there?
Is my microphone even on?
I don't think your microphone is on, sir.
What number
seven.
Are you?
Let's turn on number seven.
Seven.
What's going on, Nick? How are you?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Hey!
That worked.
I got Brooklyn Brewery insulated dark lager.
Insulated.
I don't. Yeah.
What kind of beer?
Is that asbestos beer?
I don't know. I'll let you know in a moment. Hopefully, I don't get mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma.
you ever see those commercials with the lawyers?
Like, oh, yeah. You're going to drink that? In 30 years, you're going to have mesothelioma. Right?
And then we can call Sam.
No, Sam doesn't do those.
Or we'll call Carl Collins III, and he'll take care of business.
He does car accidents.
Being a Michigander, maybe we should just call Jeffrey Figer.
Yeah, that works.
That's pretty much all you can do here.
Yeah, I know.
Don't call Snyder. He might give you lead poisoning.
Here we go.
Anyway, so we do have a special guest on the line
right now.
We have Barrett out in Los Angeles, the founder, I guess, or creator at least, of the Craft Check app, which you can get on Apple, iPhone, iOS, as well as if you go to their website, you can become a beta tester for the Android version of it. Barrett, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing very, very well. How's the weather out in LA right now?
It's nice today. We've gotten over the rain. It's been raining over the past couple days, but we're back to our regular Los Angeles sunny skies today.
So in about a couple days, we're going to be getting the same rain that you're going to be.
Well, I think we're getting the rain right now.
Yeah, we're getting rain right now.
If you get torrential downpours in a day or two, you can blame us.
Oh, don't you guys need that though? You guys have had some issues out there.
Yeah, we could use it, but a little bit more sporadically than all at once. Yeah, I think we got 3 inches of rain in a day,
which
it doesn't work out great.
We've had that issue here. I think it was a couple of years ago we had that issue where, in fact, you were driving all over the city when the whole place was flooded.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't get anywhere.
We definitely had the flood of August 2 years ago, I guess, or a year and a half ago.
Yeah, 2014.
Like, we had our entire major freeway, like, completely
cars
shut
underwater.
Down because there was cars underwater. I think the city of Warren had roughly 10,000 cars that were abandoned just because nobody could drive out.
If you ever see, like, the opening of The Walking Dead, like the TV show, that's what it looked like.
It did look like it. In some
areas, it looked like The Walking Dead intro with all those cars just abandoned on the road and everything.
But on the plus side, free cars, guys.
Free cars, yeah.
Who needs a swimming pool? You can just go swimming on I-696.
Oh, yeah.
At 3 in the morning.
Well, you could jump into I-75 because the water was up like 25 feet.
Yeah. The to look and make sure no one died in their cars down there.
Well, yeah, I think I do think one person passed away, but I think they had a heart attack during the entire thing, so they didn't drown or anything.
They were
so I guess
stressed out.
Well, yeah, I would be too if that stuff like that's happening. I would be going
crazy.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
So, Barrett, what are you drinking right now?
I'm drinking a Firestone Walker Velvet Merlin Oatmeal Stout.
It's a long name.
Yeah, I probably could have just said Velvet Merlin, but I went with it was the Lord of the Rings extended version of this beer.
Nice.
So explain exactly what your app is. Obviously, it's free to download via either the iOS or the App Store. You know, what is it? What was the meaning behind it? Like, why did you start it?
Well, a couple years back, I watched a documentary called Beer Wars on Netflix, and one of the things that they talked about was about how all of these breweries that you thought were distinct breweries or microbreweries or craft breweries were all actually owned by the Bud Miller and Coors of the world. And up until that point, I had been a beer fan, and I thought I knew a fair amount about beer. And then I watched that, and I kind of went, oh, God, I know nothing. I know nothing at all. And then the next day, I was standing in a Beverages and More, which is a big kind of liquor and beer superstore out on the West Coast. And I was standing in the craft beer aisle just with this vacant, blank look on my face, wondering how much of what I was looking at was actually craft beer and how much wasn't. And so I pulled out my phone, and I thought, there's got to be an app for that. And I started looking through my phone. And after about 15 minutes, I realized there wasn't, and I got so mad that I left and called up my friend Rudy. I was like, "We've got to do something about this. We need to fix this." And he goes, "We can do that. That'll be easy." it's not, first of all. And about a year later, we were finally able to come out with the iOS version, and then actually officially today, we're releasing the full public version for Android, so it is now officially available in the Google Play Store.
I was going to say, I've seen a lot of updates over the last week, sometimes four or five a day, maybe
a day, four or five an hour.
All right, so I wasn't staring at my phone that much.
Some of those were updates. One of those for a while was just that our notification system was bugged, so it told you every 15 minutes that there was an update.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, so we fixed that one early on. We weren't actually cranking out 53 updates a day. It just looked like that.
So in regards to the documentary Beer Wars, I don't know if these guys have seen it before. Nick, Dan?
No,
can't
okay,
say.
Okay, so at the time, I believe it's following a woman who is attempting to start her own brewery or beer. I think it was a caffeine beer. And she used to work for, I want to say, the company that makes Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was following her and three other people, I believe. One of whom was who's the guy? Anyway, yes, there were a number of different people that they were following around.
So as they follow these people around, you know, you go through. They're at like the World Beer Expo or Great American Beer Festival, and then they do like one of those documentary cartoons where they explain to you, you know, what's going on. So they talk about like, here's Bud Light, but then here's all the companies owned by Anheuser-Busch, and then all the other companies that are owned by Anheuser-Busch, and you start seeing how much like at your local Kroger or Meijer that the beer is actually owned by, you know, at that time it was probably the major three, which is Anheuser, Busch, Miller, and Coors.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the big things too, and definitely interesting to think about, is you look at breweries and beers, and you guys are pretty much on point in regards to beer and how it's rated in regards to craft versus non-craft. Now, do you guys follow the Brewers Association definition or...
Yeah, early on we had a very long conversation about, do we stick to the existing definition or do we invent our own? And we decided to stick with the Brewers Association's definition for a couple different reasons. One, it's already known. Everybody who works in the brewing industry understands it, even if they don't like it or even if they think it needs to be changed or adapted. They understand it and they're aware of it. And you can say Brewers Association craft definition and everybody knows what you're talking about. Second, you know, we're not in that industry, so the idea of inventing and then defending our own somewhat proprietary or personal definitions of what craft beer were seemed to be it struck me in the wrong way. And you know, with the existing definitions already laid out, it gave us a good kind of baseline to just get to work building the thing that needed to be built. I mean, we had enough work already in front of us with building the tech on Rudy's side. And then I had to hand input every single brewery, as well as their UPC codes and locations. So
how did you manage to get all the UPC codes?
I looked them up one by one.
And
where I couldn't find the UPC code on like the Gepper website or something like that, which is like the entity that distributes UPC codes worldwide, I would look up labels, and then where the label, if I couldn't find it in the label, like I remember there was one time I'm on Google Images zooming into this photo of a fraternity party because this dude has his beer in his hand and it's high enough resolution for me to be able to see the UPC code on it, just so I can get the information to put into our database. So it was about a year of just lots of, you know, nitty gritty database work. Nothing particularly sexy.
Have you gotten any backlash in regards to some of the major, I guess, craft brewers who are owned by macro, like Goose Island, Elysian, 10 Barrel, those types, or
even Ballast Point,
yeah,
well, the one I just scanned, for obvious reasons, because we've talked about this a number of times, and people are like, "Oh, that's craft beer," and this is the perfect time to troll them. Well, I don't know if it's trolling them, but, well, what do you think again? Let me scan this real quick. So,
yeah, it's definitely
every day I get a phone call from somebody who thinks that, you know, Sam Adams shouldn't be considered craft.
You get a phone call from someone.
Sorry, not a phone call, an email.
No, that's funny, though.
Sam Adams shouldn't be considered craft. Or more fun for me is when somebody that talks about, I get an email last week, and this guy goes into really big detail about, like, you know, why are you so against, you know, beer that comes from larger brewers? Shouldn't you care more about the quality of the beer than anything else? And it's from an AOL address. And I look up the name associated with that AOL address, and it's a guy that works at Anheuser-Busch.
Oh my God. Good
Lord. So we're on somebody's radar over there who is a VP of distribution through the Midwest.
And he's sending email from AOL. That's amazing.
That's pretty impressive.
Like, hey, 1995 called. What's up?
Yeah. So, you know, there people have issues on both sides of – or people
I don't think it's much as the fact that you're for or against craft, you're for or against micro, macro, nano, whatever. But it's the fact of how there are some companies like Budweiser or even more so with Coors and Blue Moon – how, you know, they label Blue Moon as if it's not Coors, but really it's Miller Coors. So I think that's more what you're looking for because, mind you, I'm going to make an assumption and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but over the last 5 years, I'm assuming you had something from Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we try not to make value judgments on the or make subjective judgments on the quality of the beer because, look, I've had some pretty crappy craft beers.
I think
we all have.
Yes.
Yeah. I won't name names right now, but you know I've had a couple where it's like, oh, maybe go back to accounting because this is not what you should be doing. but, you know, then again, if I'm at a friend's party or if I'm at a backyard barbecue, I'm not going to be the guy who's going, oh, I'm sorry, do you have any craft beer? Because I don't drink Miller Coors, you know?
Well, I think one of the big things that we mentioned, I think a couple of us a few days ago, we were talking about, you know, what is a good beer and what's a definition? And I always use a fun little definition of, you know, the two best beers in the world are free beer and your next beer.
I knew you were going to work that in here somehow.
Hell yeah.
Your new catchphrase you came up with like yesterday.
I like it. Screw you.
I didn't say it was bad, but here it comes.
Nerd.
Go watch Smite.
I'll go watch that. Yeah.
You know, Dan's going to go watch Awesome Games Done Quick.
Oh, that's going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's
weekend,
on right
it?
Now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely interesting, and I kind of side with the Anheuser-Busch guy in this fact that, one, I don't think you're really trying to be like, you know, oh, why does it matter if it's craft or not craft? Because I think you're just more getting out in the information that's public and readily available, but people might not just be, you know, might not know. Like, you have the guy who sued Coors Light because Blue Moon wasn't craft.
Or the guy who sued Foster's for not being
Australian. Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, we're not, you know, we're not necessarily against macro brewing. The things that the things that we're more against anything else are deceptive marketing. Like when you say it's artfully crafted, or you know, a lot of the catchphrases that are used that kind of skirt the issue close enough to imply it. As well as, to a certain degree, a lot of the distribution incentives and things like that. That and the Wall Street Journal recently wrote about a lot of the distribution incentives that Anheuser-Busch is pushing out, that pushes their either former craft breweries that they now own, or their craft-like lines, incentivizes distributors to hold those as opposed to other actual craft breweries. So letting people kind of make that value judgment themselves and providing them with accurate information is more important to us than telling them this is good, because good is so subjective for everybody.
That's definitely one of the things that we all agree on here, because we're not your atypical beer drinkers. And the fact that we don't get a hard on for the next great IPA or the next barrel aged triple IPA, double Lindy backflip.
Wow, back to school reference. Wow.
Well, I already said triple, so I couldn't say triple indie, so I ruined myself for that. But no, it's, you know, beer is so subjective, and there's thousands upon tens of thousands of beer to try, to where what's the point of, you know, why is there so much homering over one beer? And, you know, one of the big ones too, and I'm probably going to assume you get a lot of it, is when somebody scans a Goose Island in a Bourbon County and it says that it's not craft.
Yep. We did that, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah. I think that was the first week we tried it, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because Ryan was here week we tried that, and we had that, and we were like, yep, it came up exactly like we thought it would.
Well, again, it being craft does not – or not craft for that matter – does not change the flavor. It does not change the taste.
Nope.
And I mean, the big thing that a lot of people do forget is that when Anheuser-Busch bought out Goose Island, their brewmaster said, screw you guys, I'm going home, and left. So, you know, everybody's talking about all the changes and stuff and how everything's the same and nothing changed. I'm like, you know the thing changed, because you know – the entire beer is going to change just for the fact that the head brewmaster is gone. Now, whatever Anheuser-Busch got out of that sale, we'll probably never know based on recipes and stuff like that. But you can use the same recipe, but there comes a point where the person making it makes the recipe. You know, it's the difference of, I can give five people the same cake recipe and you're going to get five different flavors.
Right, yeah.
That's true.
And so, I'd be very curious to see whether it is even the same recipe. I know that there have been a number of AB InBev buyout breweries that have talked about how their ingredients got cheaper, and not because they were buying them at scale, but because they changed to slightly cheaper but maybe more available ingredients.
Well, I think one of the big things that I don't like in regards to the whole craft versus not craft is that it's more specifically, I guess, I don't like about Goose Island is the fact that they can make more damn Bourbon County if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
They just choose not to.
The only restriction they have is space. I mean, the barrels are the one thing, but I'm sure you can find somewhere to
Between
store.
Every single Anheuser-Busch facility, I'm sure they
That's
can
the
find.
Thing. Yeah, you can find somewhere to keep
or,
it.
Or and they have enough money that they can contract it out to somewhere else to make the beer or house the beer.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure if Anheuser-Busch comes with a check to some small brewery or some mid-sized brewery and be like, we want to rent your place for the next 6 months. Oh, okay. I don't have to do anything, and I'm going to make money.
I'll leave the key for you. Here you go. Make sure you lock it up when you leave.
So what's your favorite style of beer there, Barrett?
I'm pretty widespread. I like a good brown, to be totally honest.
Oh, there we go.
Ken's best friend.
That's my guy right there.
I know that it's not the trendiest thing in the world, but you know, there's something about a good solid, especially if it's nutty, brown. There's one out of Alabama that I really, really like called Good People Brown. That's fantastic. I like Belgian doubles. I'm a big stout fan. Depending on the mood, you know, I like a good blonde or a lager. The only thing I really don't like is I'm not a big fan of sours. I'm not a big fan of saisons. I'm really over the great IPA arms race of the past 10 years. As you mentioned, you know, you don't need a double, triple Lux Axel IPA. Like, sometimes you want to taste things for the next 48 to 72 hours.
Well, we always joke. There was a place, was it Dark Horse, that did the takeover?
Oh, yeah.
And they had
yeah,
like 87 Hopcat. Versions of an IPA. Or it's like, come on.
Of their
yeah,
IPA.
Of their IPA, yeah, of their Crooked Tree.
Not just
yes.
like different IPAs
it was
that they
one,
make. It's
one kind.
One yeah. IPA, but 87 variants of it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a. I'm a huge fan of Stone Brewery.
Me too.
Yes.
Ken, how about you?
Yeah.
how about that Double Bastard? Should we go drinks? No.
I didn't like the double. I loved the Barrel Age Arrogant Bastard.
That was good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And now that my palate's a little bit more acclimated to different beers, I do like Arrogant Bastard a little more because yeah. I didn't like it that first time I drank it.
I almost grabbed us an Enjoy by 1231.
Oh,
way here because they had them available. I was like, okay. But then I saw other stuff. I was like, yeah, we'll do that instead.
Yeah, we definitely get a lot of – I don't think there's any distribution issues with Stone getting out here. We're getting a
no,
lot
No, they've been
of,
here a long time.
Oh, yeah. Stone – is Rogue out there or is that
– Rogue is definitely out here, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know where – I don't know where Rogue's brewery is. That's what I was more
– Oh, they're up in Oregon.
Okay.
So not too far away from here.
No. We definitely – there's so many distribution – like misses that get to, like don't get here.
Well,
in
Michigan's a nightmare. We've yeah. talked about that before. You can't even get Yingling here, and they're like one state over from
yeah,
where we're at.
You can't get Yingling. You can't get Allagash. You can't get Maine Brewing.
Three Floyds.
Who's,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally down the freeway.
40 miles away yeah. from Michigan.
Yep.
You guys can't get Allagash?
No, we can't get Allagash here. The closest place we could get it, I believe, we could get it in Chicago on draft. I don't think they distribute bottles there, though.
I say that heavy metal bar that has like all the craft beer, slipping my name in Chicago, has them.
Oh, I went to it was called like the Monk Pub or whatever over in the south, like the north part of the South Loop. So, yeah, I definitely have a story about Chicago from this weekend that we'll get to.
Sorry,
in
you were just
two.
Out there. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah. So you like brown ales? Have you had a Maduro from Cigar City?
I have not. It's on my to-do list.
That's same with me. I was hoping maybe you had had it and you would have told me it was bad so I wouldn't, you know, not feel bad for not having it yet.
Does Cigar City make it to California or no?
Cigar City, I don't know what Cigar City's distribution is. I know there's a website out there where you can actually look up distributions per brewery.
Oh, nice.
And what it does is it fills up the United States map. And it has, I believe it's like three or four color codings where it's limited distribution, draft only, full distribution, and not distribution. So you can look up literally every single brewery that you're looking for to see if it gets distributed to your state. And at that point, then, of course, you can go to like a local beer store and be like, hey, you want to buy this so I can buy it off of you?
Oh, that's amazing.
So do you guys have any – in regards to California, because we're not necessarily too familiar with the liquor laws in California, do you guys have any crazy laws in regards to purchasing beer? Because we have restrictions in regards to Michigan, like beer stores cannot force you to buy anything else to then buy a beer. Like you can't buy – you have to buy – like some people will try to
buy a 12-pack to get this bottle of like
yeah.
say Bourbon County. Like for example, you can't
yeah.
do that here.
Do you have anything like that out there or is it pretty like, you know, first come, first serve for everything?
No, it's super laid back as far as alcohol and liquor purchases. I mean even to the point where if you've got a Costco and a Sam's Club and somebody is just buying alcohol, you cannot – force them to have a membership if all they are buying is alcohol. So you can walk into a Sam's Club or a Costco and say, I'm only buying this, that, or the other. Go in and you have to get it at the same price as people who are members.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the law here in Michigan too, where
okay.
you can't be required to purchase some type of membership or sign up for a membership to purchase any yeah. type of alcohol or liquor for that matter.
I mean, it's pretty laid back here, to be honest.
Well, that's good. I know Michigan obviously being a three-tier state and, of course, going through the distribution issues
especially being such a big craft beer boom. I mean, between us, you guys in California, Oregon
Vermont,
Colorado, you know, six or seven states, those are the craft beer states right now. I mean, even Ohio right now is definitely.
Are they really?
I didn't know Ohio. With Fatheads, which is probably. Probably their most well-known brewery out there other than Great Lakes. Fatheads won more awards than the state of Michigan at the Great American Beer Festival.
That's crazy.
Whoa.
I say Michigan, and we got some breweries here. Yeah, it's not exactly a joke state.
So it's definitely interesting to see how Ohio – that's why when I go to Ohio, I always make sure to try something different. And I love Hoppin' Frog, I think is the name of the company. Or the brewery, but they have their that double pumpkin ale that I really, really love.
Oh, pumpkin ale.
I know you don't like the pumpkin ales.
Just like you don't like this, so I think we're good.
No, that's good. I'm fine. I understand. I don't like hot food anyways or spicy food, so I can't do a habanero anything.
Yeah, I'm drinking a habanero Sculpin since you're not here to see it. And I drink them like they're water.
Oh, yeah, you've been drinking. Like I don't. That's like your beer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like my favorite go-to beer.
That's
like
your
regular
that's your
drink
Budweiser now. Right now. Yeah. I'll have a habanero Sculpin.
Only because they don't make a ghost pepper one, but
Rogue has a sriracha stout that you might want to.
I've seen the. Rogue
I haven't tried
sriracha.
That one.
You've seen the bottle because yeah. Whenever you go and you see like all the Rogue bottles and it's got like the voodoo donut,
like
and
the
all,
pink bottle.
Yeah, and, yeah. It's definitely in there. It's a red bottle.
I'm gonna
it
check
like
for
a,
it next.
It
time.
Looks like a sriracha bottle, nice. So yeah. Okay. It's yeah. Not that hard to find. So what do you got planned for a craft check? Are you guys looking to do anything on top of what you're doing right now, or is it pretty much set to go and just update when there's new beers?
No, we've got, we actually sat down at the very beginning of this year to kind of figure out what we're going to do with 2016. Step one was get an Android app out, and you know, we want to hold our plans a little bit close to the vest, but suffice to say that having a functional and updatable app on iOS and Android lets us really get into the things that we want to do, which is expand the usefulness of what a craft beer app can be. So I'll give you a little bit of an example right now. It's frustrating to me that if you scan a Blue Moon, it just tells you no. What we'd like to do is change that to a no, but perhaps here are some options, or no, but you know, here are some things that you can check out that might be available near you.
So are you saying like no, but here and here's why it's not? Like for example, the Ballast Point, I scan it and it says no, but it doesn't tell why.
Oh, that's a bug. I should fix that.
Yeah. Oh, does it actually on the iOS? I remember it saying it was owned by Constellation.
Oh yeah, this just said no. It just said it was craft, not crafty.
So now you have some work to do tonight.
Yeah. All right. That's on the to-do list. Thanks, guys.
I'll double check it to make sure since we got you here, but I'm pretty sure that's what it did.
Yeah, check yeah, my. No, check
oh,
my
you know what? It does say Constellation in there here. That's go. My bad. Yeah, so you don't go digging for bugs. I made
check,
one up.
Check my Lightning Kugel. See what it says.
that terrible beer.
Is that the Shandy?
It's one the of them. Cocoa it's Berry Shandy.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
that's,
why?
That's the one I was
that's
trying
what
to
I said.
Everyone trying.
And he made me drink it, and I'm really it. Upset
yeah.
about it.
Oh, you'll get
you
over it. I gave you the gumball head.
Is this revenge?
Did you guys mess with me lately?
Oh no, this is owned by Miller Coors. We gotta be careful.
We gotta be careful. That means I just
it says it's crafty though. I don't think this is crafty. I think this is just garbage.
I think crafty is more subjective than anything.
This is bad beer. Don't drink it again.
I think pretty much. Well, the main reason I think the definition of craft is basically anything that's not an American adjunct. I think that's what a lot of people are really going for is that it's not. Bud Light, Bud Platinum, Bud Ice.
I should go grab one of those black labels and be like, oh, what's this?
But what's funny is that there's a lot of people. We had Sellermans on here not too long ago, and one of the big – their big
they
seller –
They love Black Label.
Their big seller – well, they love Black Label, but their big seller is an American lager.
Yep.
And it's because it's a blue-collar area. And, you know, the fact that sooner or later you can make beer and make beer what you want, but no matter how good it is, if you don't have a market, you're not going to sell it.
That's true.
So have you guys – do you guys do any home brewing out there or are you just kind of craft beer enthusiasts?
I tried home brewing a couple times. Remember what I was saying earlier about maybe you should go back to accounting?
You should go back to codeing apps.
If you ever wanted to taste a, or if you ever wanted to have a beer that tasted a lot like gym socks, I'm your guy.
Oh Lord,
you know I haven't had gym socks lately. You know, probably the last edition I had was like a 2011 gym socks.
Milo likes gym socks.
Milo likes socks. Yes, my dog likes socks.
What about a bourbon barrel aged gym sock beer?
Oh, that it's got to be good because it's bourbon barrel aged. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, using that like Maker's Mark to get that flair.
I still think it's funny when you look at like Beer Advocate or Beer Rate or whatever, and it's like 99, but for the style it's only 82.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, how is that possible?
What? Well, how is it a 99 but only 82? In the style, then shouldn't it be 82?
Well, pretension adds 18 points.
Well, I guess pretension subtracts the 18 points for that matter. So what about like what's your guilty pleasure in regards to beer? Obviously we've been talking craft beer. Do you like Black Label? I guess we could talk
Black Label. Schlitz in a can,
PBR.
I don't really have any guilty pleasures that I can think of. I mean, my go-to is Firestone, Walker, Stone. We're a little bit blessed to be out here in California, and we've got the San Diego scene going on and a lot of the Bay Area scene. So, 9 times out of 10, if you look in my fridge, there's, you know, some kind of Stone or Firestone, Walker going on. Those are my go-tos. Yeah,
we're blessed to be in Michigan, and I still drink Stroh's in a bottle.
Hey, I drank PBR before I got here.
I had Ice House.
You were drinking Ice House.
Yeah, he brought Ice House.
That was
to the
a
show.
Mistake.
Like intentionally trying to punish himself.
Yeah. I did just shotgun 3 Keystone Lights. So.
Oh, hey, I've been there. We can go down that road.
I tell you what, I think Keystone's marketing development is amazing.
With Keith
I love Keith Stone. His commercials are hysterical.
It's a badass right there. Like that guy.
I mean,
cool.
They should just come with a funnel for every six pack. Like they know what you're using it for.
Or a key, like a blank key, so you can just punch it in and shotgun it.
There is a buddy of mine. He used to, on his wedding band, he used to have like a little a nail or something. Not a nail, but like a little spike.
So
like
he could shotgun.
He could shotgun beer.
Wow, that's dedication.
I'm like, that's disgusting. I'm like, you're going to stab yourself one day. Because he wears it like a diamond. So, like, he'll wear it up while he's wearing it like a diamond. And then, like, when he's ready to shotgun a beer, he'll put it down so then he can, like, grab the beer and, determination.
I would love to hear that conversation with his wife.
I need to get this because it looks cool and I can use it to shotgun beer.
Yeah, it looks cool. That's all she needs to know. That's all she needs to know. So the next time you guys see me with a little spike on my ring, you'll know what I use it for.
So we can shotgun.
Obviously shotgunning lining cocoa berry shandies. Yeah, because there's no other way to drink
it. Yeah, that's the only way you can drink that.
I poured it in a glass just so I could slam it. So what else do you got going on over with Craft Check? Obviously, you have some plans in regards to getting a little more information out every time you scan. Do you guys have any other apps that you guys have created, or is this kind of like a one-off, hey, let's do this?
This is it for the moment. I mean, Rudy's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a number of years, and it's fun being able to work on a project with your friends. You know, both of us have day jobs that we work on. Rudy's a programmer by trade. That would have been much more stable. On my better days, I call myself an entrepreneur, but I run another startup out here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
What's your plan? Yeah. You going to plan to monetize this in any way? You don't have to give specifics if you are, but you got plans to do so?
We kind of went backwards. The first version of Craft Check was 99 cents. And that was just to allow us to recover some of the hard costs made in building it. And we have no plans to charge for it. We're never going to introduce advertising. You know, for us, this is something that needed to exist. And so we are going to make it exist. Our monetization plans right now are get it out to as many people as possible, have as many people find it as useful as possible. And, you know, if we figure out something beyond that, great, but for me, it was more important that as many people as possible have access to this information.
I do like hearing no ads. That actually kind of makes my day, considering everything you download now has ads.
It's an epidemic.
It is.
It's freemium, which free is Latin for
Even video games now are free to play, which you can't do anything unless you pay for it. So,
well, that's the most annoying thing in the world is when something is free to play and what do you call it? It's free, but you have to pay like $50 just to do like anything specific in the game.
Or you have to wait like 5 days to anything.
Or you have to play for hours and hours and hours, and you make a little bit of progress.
And the guy that paid is like light years ahead.
Yes, exactly.
But he's still probably feeling the same way you are about like how much further he needs to go and
to beat the Koreans at the same. No, I know.
Well, they are much better at us than video games, that's for sure.
Oh, Lord.
Just a few things. Not too many video games. They got the what do you call it? The StarCraft.
StarCraft, yeah.
That's for sure.
And any kind of speedrunning game right now.
You're really on like
I really am watching it right now as we're listening to Barrett talk.
Oh, you're watching it right now.
You're watching are you watching the Smite World Championship?
No, I'm watching AGDQ.
Yeah, he's watching two different video game tournaments going on.
I'm not a fan of MOBAs, no.
MOBAs are terrible.
Come on.
That's the one game I'm good at. MOBAs.
Next time in Cali, man, I'm coming out and I'm going to take you out. I'm going to buy you a beer for saying that.
Sounds like a plan.
Just for that, you get a beer.
Yeah.
And Dan, on the other hand, is not going to buy you a beer.
No, because I'll be playing Smite. You guys can drink beer.
Here's my issue with Smite, and I'm going to be
Here we go.
Yeah.
There you go, Dan. That's all you.
We're listening.
Totally up front here. It's because I'm such a huge Tribes fan. And I'm still supremely angry.
You hate high-res over Tribes? Oh, yeah. Smite's so good, though. Give him another shot.
He's trying to plug the game.
Give him a shot. It's fun. I make people cry. It's
Dan's,
fun to watch.
Dan's job, if you didn't know, is he works for the company that makes Smite, obviously.
No, you caught me. No, not really. I wish I did, but no.
It was just as soon as Smite started taking off and they dropped all support for Tribes.
They dropped all their other games.
Bugs left, right, and center. It was totally unplayable.
Who makes Smite?
High-res.
High-res,
yeah, right. Out of Georgia.
The devil makes Smite.
So you're out in California then, so you'd be a Heroes of the Storm kind of guy with Blizzard and that sort of.
I mean, I'm not a mobile guy in general. I'm not a... Heroes of the Storm is a card based, right?
No, that's Hearthstone.
That's Hearthstone. Yeah. Sorry. Too many stones.
Too many to keep track of. It's
I like Blizzard. I'm not really a particular fan. I just think that they're generally good people. I have a lot of friends who work there. But there's nothing that I can point to that I'm like, oh, sweet.
Do they work for Blizzard or do they work for Activision?
They work for Blizzard. Okay. Activision. Yeah. Sorry. I was about to drop an F-bomb. I didn't mean to.
That's good.
That's okay. Remember, it shows how meaningful you're about to talk to about Activision and Call of Duty 6.4 or Black Ops 3.
Ken's favorite game. Ken's favorite game.
The championship tournament edition.
$160 out the door.
Yeah.
It's you're totally able to make a solid video game in 9.5 months every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Well, they do. They just use the same skins and just go again.
Yeah.
No, I remember I installed, because it was a free weekend, Black Ops 2, I think it was. And the second I learned you could double jump in the game, I'm like, nope, uninstall. I'm like, I don't buy, what do you call it, like, modern warfare type games for unmodern warfare, like unrealistic.
Like double jump. Yeah. Realistic double jump.
Well, then you would hate Destiny.
You can't double jump in real life, Ken? What's wrong with you? You don't practice enough.
I don't. You know, I'll stick my double jumping to Unreal Tournament and Quake. Thank you.
Double jumping is why we won World War II, okay?
Oh my God. Well, there goes that right there. Double jumping, the reason why America won WW2.
We are back-to-back World War champs. Let's give a little bit of credit here.
Oh, Jesus.
We're undefeated in
World
War. That's
true. Undefeated. Got the spinner belt.
The spinner.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh. That's what I was going to say. John Cena. I was hoping. I've been looking through these. They have sound effects on the soundboard, and I was looking for something
like John Cena
one earlier. There is, and I'm going to see. I don't know if it'll do it, but there's this. which didn't look like it played, so it pretty much doesn't do anything.
Like, what
for
did
me.
You just do? Like, everyone's Fail. Waiting.
Everyone's waiting. Nothing happened.
Old.
Yeah. we're going to be running into a break shortly. Barrett, we do appreciate you coming onto the show. Is there anything else you want to plug? Obviously, how do you get the app? Where do they find Woo! You on the Twitter, the Facebooks? The untaps, if you have an untapped, you know, how can people find you and your app?
We're at craftcheckapp.com. You can find us on the iOS and Google Play stores. We are on Twitter. It's craftcheckapp. We're on Facebook, technically. We don't pay that much attention to it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this part of the Better on Draft podcast. Once again. Nick took a minute from his awesome games done quick
yes!
to grab John Cena.
I am the computer guy here.
But we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Once again, Barrett, thank you for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
And we're back. Hey.
All right, you're like, oh, a bunch of dudes, and then we're back. Hey. There we go. No idea what's going on.
Hey, yo. Yeah.
Did you say, hey, Jacko, hey?
Hey,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised you know that.
Yeah, you've told the story like 8 times.
I figured Brian told you the story like 8 times.
But. No, it was you. Don't worry, though.
So what are we drinking here? What is this?
We are drinking Atwater's Black and Cran Barrel-Aged Cranberry Imperial Stout.
See, that's in a mouthful.
Yes, it is. Obviously,
being sarcastic, Ken.
I don't care. With that in mind, it's actually pretty good. I've had it before. It is craft beer, as much as I know a lot of people do not like Atwater in these parts.
It's got a hot 3.5-star rating. I haven't tested it yet.
3.5-star. Well, that's
3.5.
I mean, that's being barrel aged, so it's probably like a 1-star barrel aged.
Oh, yeah, because you know barrel aged automatically gives it like 18 extra stars, or I don't know.
So, what's the difference between a 3.5-star and a 3.75-star? That's always my question. Like, how do you verify the difference?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to a snob because it's like, well,
if you're a beer snob listening to this show, give us a call.
Well, like,
don't call us. We don't want to talk.
Send us a message on Facebook.
Here's how I rate
it. No, don't.
If it's like an English ale, I'll probably rate it 4.5 or 5 because that's what I like. If you go into like quarter stars, like go F yourself.
It is kind of weird how Untappd started doing that. Like they used to do it, you know, 0.5-star at the most. That was this far, you know, small number you can go. And then out of nowhere, one update, then it's like, oh, I could do quarter.
Oh, quarter star.
Yeah, so
oh.
I can basically rate it 1 out of 25.
It's
now.
Like Star Search, you know?
Star Search. Is this a spokes model competition?
Yeah, well, if it's for beer, man.
Where's Justin Timberlake when you need him? He was on Star Search.
Wasn't Britney Spears on Star
Search?
Yeah,
Britney Spears. There's a lot of those teeny 1990s teenage drinkers. Singers.
Ed McMahon.
You know, this beer isn't bad. I'd say it's better than 3.5. This is decent.
So I'm looking at the spreadsheet that we have. You know, we look up all the news and stuff like that. And obviously one of the big news is that we were going to talk about, and I'm trying to see if it's actually on here, but the recall and refunds for Bourbon County.
I thought we brought that up last week.
We might have.
We touched base on it.
So Bourbon County came out, or Goose Island came out, and basically said, you know, hey, if you had one of these beers, you know, you can contact us and get a refund on the beer that you purchased. Obviously, it was for their Bourbon County coffee and their barley wine.
So the barley wine was
the barley.
Some
of the barley wine was infected. And so it was definitely interesting to see, you know, especially with – like I don't know if it's because I wasn't in a lot of these groups last year, but the craze and like how people got for these beers, even for me because I wanted to try the coffee porter because I like coffee beers. So I'm like, you know, hey, I want to try this. Now I'm like, you know, I'm over it. I haven't gotten it and I really don't need to anymore. So, I mean, we didn't get a chance to try it, but have you guys ever ran into not like, cause we've ran into skunked beer, but like infected beers that don't.
I would say, I don't know if they've been infected, and you used to drink Brick when it was around.
Yeah.
The flavor would always change. Like it could vary from can to can.
Yeah, I definitely remember Brick always being almost like a crapshoot every time you bought it.
It could be really good, or it'd be like, what am I drinking?
It's like, this doesn't taste like the same Brick I just had 10 minutes ago.
No, that would be the one that comes to mind when it comes to like, oh, I don't know if this is infected, if it's when the oxygenated, sorry. Yeah, that's the one I think of.
Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you watching video games?
No,
you guys yell at me.
No, I can't recall a time where I've had skunk beer. Yes, we all have.
Yeah, I think we've all ran into skunk beer. It
but
just happens.
Infected. I don't actually even recall a time where I've had a beer 1 minute and then the next time I have it, it's like, well, what the hell is
this? Well, now keep in mind an infected beer is going to taste sour.
Yeah.
Is what it's going to be.
You're going to taste more like apple taste and, you know, just.
Or a fruity flavor, something like that.
I mean, when I saw infected beer, I'm like, well, what the hell happened here? Because like, it's something that you just
T-virus.
Never.
T-virus.
The T-virus, yeah. It's something that you don't normally ever hear about. At least, you know, often. At least, you know, now you're tasting like that was infected.
No, that was
not
just
a fan of that one, Ken.
Shandy.
Oh, is that? I'm like, what were you doing? I'm like, oh, you didn't like.
Say you just had the Atwater.
No, I've already had
one
bottle
of
these.
I'll try your insulated.
Yeah.
I've already had one bottle of the Black and Crayon before, so that's why I had no problem bringing it up. I got it from a buddy of mine who had some bottles.
Yeah. It's a drinkable beer.
I don't think they liked it that much, so they gave me two bottles. I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't care.
I don't like this fruit beer.
Yeah, who doesn't like a beer and then has someone try it themselves, you know? Like, hey, try it. I don't like it, but you try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of asshole does that?
Ken.
Yeah, pretty much. So I don't think I've ever seen too many infected brews, but I think there's most of the beers that we get and we buy is not, you know, your standard rare type beers where it's only around for like 2 weeks of the year. You know, we definitely drink a lot more – just your standard everyday beers that are always there no matter what. But we definitely have some other news. One thing I wanted to bring up, have you guys seen UFC 197's card that got updated?
No. Want to go over it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. So first of all, you got Holly Holm versus Misha Tate.
When is this fight?
This is coming up very, very soon.
This is going to be UFC 197. I'm looking for the exact date itself. But you also have Conor McGregor versus some guy named Rafael Dos Anjos.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's fighting Dos Anjos. That's a good fight.
There you go. So those are the two. It looks like March 5th.
March 5th, 2016 in Las Vegas, Nevada. So. That's actually very surprised. Well, I'm not surprised that Dos Anjos is getting the next shot at Conor McGregor.
He's the favorite in that fight right now, too. Two months out.
Yeah, that's
Dos Anjos is the favorite?
Yep.
I don't follow too much, so why is that?
He's a good fighter.
Well, I know Dos Anjos is coming off of – I think he's got himself quite the winning streak built up right now. He's currently got five – he's won – wow. He's won his last five, and he's won 10 of his last 11. And those are all in the UFC.
UFC's got to be careful. They're going to knock off their last, like, face, like their big face.
Well, if you look at who Dos Anjos has beaten, he beat Cowboy Cerrone last, and that was just a couple of weeks ago. He beat Anthony Pettis to win the title, the lightweight title. You got Nate Diaz. And then Benson Henderson.
Those are all good wins.
Yeah.
See, he's beaten all the names.
He's beaten actually Donald Cerrone twice.
See, he's beaten every big name that they have.
He lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov.
I have no idea who that even is.
That was a unanimous decision in that fight.
Yeah, April 19th, 2014.
But the fact that he's won his last five against some of the biggest names in the lightweight division.
Nate Diaz, that's a hell of a win.
Yeah. It was actually at catch weight. Diaz missed his weight.
I'm not shocked.
I'm not shocked by that either. Him and his brother.
They're good fighters, but you know, if you watch them like live, and like there used to be that live MMA talk show on Spike.
They would talk so much shit.
Well, that and they sound so uneducated. It's like they have no like they use their natural talent, and they don't try to do anything else.
Yeah.
Like they don't try to educate them, do anything, education,
well,
anything.
From just listening and looking on social media, it sounds like they have a lot of friends within the UFC roster.
Who the Diazes?
Yeah.
Because they're jerks.
Yeah,
I mean, think about a fighter though. Yeah. You got to be a hothead or like kind of hard-headed to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So by the sounds of it, Connor's moving up a weight class to fight Dos Anjos.
So it would be Dos Anjos defending his lightweight title against Conor McGregor.
So really, we have Conor McGregor going after a second title. Is that what the UFC is coming to?
Well, yes. He's been on one of the radio shows I listened to on satellite radio, and he said that this was his plan. He wants to move up a weight class, and he was going to kind of bounce back and forth between featherweight and lightweight,
and there's
try and take
wrong.
Both. He's one of the best fighters in the world right now. He can easily take both divisions right now.
He could, and there's nothing wrong. That happens in boxing all the time.
Yeah.
You
look at like Floyd Mayweather, who has 64 belts.
Yeah,
yeah.
You would have a lot of champions, especially back in the 80s and earlier, who would move weight classes to take fights to make money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's how you got paid. You know, you weren't Floyd Mayweather $250 million in your bank account. So
that's
it's a normal thing.
He's a product too. He's not just a name. You know,
yeah.
It's not just a fighter.
Well, keep
he's
in mind, product. He has no sponsorships or anything. Mayweather.
Oh,
so.
Really?
No. He was used once in one of those commercials for like pistachios or whatever. Or no, that was Pacquiao. He was used once for something. No one will touch him as far as sponsorship goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's won championships in 5 different weight divisions. Super featherweight, lightweight, light welterweight, welterweight, and light middleweight.
Well, how many of those times were those fights for undisputed titles?
I don't know.
You have 4 different
boxing so
organized organizations. You have the IBF, the WBO, the WBA.
Yeah,
the Ring, which is not even an organization; it's a magazine.
I was going to say WBF, but that's the World Bodybuilding Federation.
Ooh.
Or was that the Vince McMahon one?
Yeah, that was the Vince McMahon
the
one.
Time oh, Vince gosh. McMahon
the
thing.
One time Vince
you
McMahon
mentioned that Misha's going to be fighting
Misha
Holly Holm.
A good fighter. Yep.
Well, she's won her 4. She's won her last 4. Prior to that, she actually lost 3 of the last 4.
Two of them
to Ronda.
And one to Kat Zingano. And she beat the hell out of Zingano and probably should have won that fight. But
she did get fight of the night on her, so nasty
heel hook on Zingano, and she didn't tap. It was kind of impressive.
Is that like a heel turn?
A heel hook? Why don't you pull up a video of a heel hook? I think it's a little bit worse than a heel turn.
I don't know. That some heel turns are pretty bad, like, you know, drop kicking someone and throwing them through the barbershop window.
Oh, my God. You're old enough to remember that? I'm kind of shocked.
I remember that. Please. I remember that.
Please.
So UFC is actually going to be kicking off night 2016 pretty strong this year with that right there. And then they got some big fights coming up.
For a time where I feel like they don't have too many big-named people, I think the big-named people are taking a lot more fights than they normally would.
They need to.
Well, that young guy, Sage Northcutt's taking another fight on like a few weeks. Like I think it's like 5, 6, 7 weeks. Normally the turnaround is usually longer than that. He wants one more fight in before he turns 20. Because he's not his last fight as a teenager. He's 2-0 in the UFC. He's one of the youngest fighters in the promotion right now.
I believe it at 20.
Well, he's 19 right now. He's going to turn 20 after that fight. He wants to fight one more time as a teenager.
Wow.
How do you get so much experience being 19 years old?
Well, if you start in BJJ as a kid.
Well, he's starting karate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's a world champion of karate starting at the age of 9. And
that kid was – have you seen some of the video on that guy? Like on like UFC, like the primetime specials that they do?
He's also got a 15-0 kickboxing record already.
That's ridiculous.
Already.
But you know what? Still, when it comes down to it, kickboxing is going to lose to BJJ.
Oh, yeah.
100 times out of 100. So he's got some skill there, obviously.
talk about big names, you know, even some of the, you know, got some bigger names coming up later on. You know, you got Anthony Johnson and Ryan Bader headlining an event later
this month. Darth Bader.
Cain Velasquez is coming back up, you know, in February.
You mean the champion? The heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez?
Well, former heavyweight champion.
Wait, who's the champion now?
Fabricio Werdum.
Oh, I didn't even know he won that fight. Wow, okay.
Cowboy Cerrone's coming back again. That guy is just – he loves fighting, I guess.
He's been around a while.
Michael Bisping's coming back.
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
That guy cannot catch a break in trying to get a title run.
The last time I enjoyed a Michael Bisping fight was at UFC 100. Ken, you were there.
Oh, yeah.
When he got – Dan Henderson just kept throwing overhand punches, and he finally caught him.
I saw that fight.
And he just bitched about it after. He's like, all he did was keep throwing punches until he got lucky, y'all. You lost. Shut up. So he dropped to like middleweight after what's his name broke his leg.
Anderson
broke his leg, so he dropped to middleweight to fight. Like, oh no.
Well, speaking of Silva, he actually is fighting Bisping.
Is he
Anderson Silva?
Oh Lord, oh there we go. I want to watch that fight.
That fight's on February 27th.
God, we're talking almost 100 main cards ago. How old is Bisping these days?
He's in his mid to late 30s, I think.
Good Lord,
he's 36.
Oh, what's going on, Ken? We got
nothing.
Was that a call?
That was not a call. I exited out of Skype, so let's call it in.
Yeah, he's 30. He's 36 years old.
He's been fighting a while then.
Yeah, he has. I didn't know he was actually born in Cyprus. I didn't know that.
Bisping? I thought he was British. Wow, I didn't know.
He is English, but it's a British military base. That's why.
Obviously, yeah, we need to bring back some Dan Severn to.
Well, you do know that we went to that one XICW show and he had his promotion fighting next door at the Imperial House.
Oh, that was the day that I was at that wedding. You guys were telling me about that.
It was me, Ken, and Tara that went to an XICW show at the Imperial.
Yeah, I was like half a mile away to wedding.
Yeah, and he was next door.
I was mad. I was like, wait a minute. Like, there's an MMA card, too? Like,
next door to the XICW show.
That's funny.
It's like, leave your weapons in your car or something like that. Signs outside. Leave your weapons in the car.
Why? Are you going to join the fight? Are you going to jump in?
I felt more comfortable at the Ritz than I did at the Imperial House that night.
Yeah. I did too a little bit.
They've ruined those shows. I mean, those were fun back in the day, those Ridge shows.
We'll leave that to the other show. The other
100 degrees in the middle of summer at the Ritz. Oh.
Some blue tarp water.
Oh, blue tarp water. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
IDs or credit card info getting stolen. Yeah.
That was me. Yeah. I'm like, you too? And I'm like, you're talking about me.
So
I was there.
So, guys, I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
All right.
What if I were to tell you that...
You're pregnant.
Yeah, how'd you know?
He's going to be a soccer player.
Oh, Lord. What if I were to tell you guys that there is now a way you can get a growler delivered to your house?
Oh, where? How and where?
In California.
Wait, hold on. No, we can do this here because Embry will deliver beer to my house. So, hold on now.
Will they?
Yes. They will. They? Yeah. Yes.
Well, we just derailed
your story.
Really briefly, there is a new startup in California that will deliver 32-ounce growlers.
Oh, that's it? 32 ounces? Like,
to your door.
Well, if you're drunk, it's nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm not ordering a growler when I'm drunk. I'm probably going to go get a 40. I'm like, give me that $15 32-ounce howler.
Give me some OE.
Yeah. Give me that King Cobra.
Make some brass monkeys.
Well, what do you call it? So the law in Michigan, which I really don't think a lot of people care about, you can definitely sell beer to go or deliver beer as long as somebody purchases some form of hot food. So
is that the rule?
I didn't know. So any liquor store that makes their own pizza or deep fried chicken
with their pizza,
You have to buy some type of food, and after that, you can deliver beer, whether it's draft or bottle. Draft obviously has to be sealed, legalities.
Yeah.
Because when I was setting up a business plan for a beer store, I'm like, oh, so you're telling me all I need to do is buy a deep fryer and I can sell beer delivery?
A home kitchen deep fryer.
you need. I mean, obviously, you got to be able to be zoned to be able to do hot food and have all the laws in regards to being able to sell food, which is a little bit more deeper. But the fact that a lot of these places already do that.
Yep.
You know, how many beer stores or liquor stores do you go to that already sell, some type like Chester's Chicken or whatever?
The only one I can think of is Joe's right by my house. Doesn't sell anything.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't sell. And I'm like, really?
Yeah,
just one.
Doesn't sell any. That's the only one I can think of. If I go to Get and Go at the corner of, 9 Mile and 6 – or not 9 Mile, Hilton and 696.
Uh-huh.
That other Vega Market, they sell food. The White liquor store across the street from them sells food. Like, all the other ones I know do.
Sorry, Nick.
For what?
To derail your story.
That's okay. Not the first time.
But, you know, 8 Degrees used to deliver beer. They used to advertise. I don't think he does anymore, but like he would deliver
to my knowledge, yeah, he used to deliver to tailgating, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some type of you know, obviously being Tim and Bridget, I think they understood the legalities and stuff like that and knew everything to where they knew how to work around whatever laws there might be.
And I'm willing to bet if you called him, especially with a downtown store now, you called him, you could probably get something. I'm assuming. Oh, yeah. I'm assuming.
Well, their store, they're definitely what sucks for that is that they're definitely understaffed in the sense to where they can't have more people to do deliveries and stuff like that because there just isn't a market for it.
Well, yeah,
this
when
time.
They opened, it was just him and Bridget. Like every day you'd go in there, it yep. was only them. Now, I mean, you have Ian out here. I was shocked to see Tim here tonight when I stopped in there. I was like really shocked me. I was like,
yeah,
hey.
I always see Bridget at Detroit.
Yeah, so I believe that. But yeah, it shocked me. I was like, Tim's here. I was like, wow.
Like, yeah, Ian definitely. I always see Ian at Ferndale. I don't think I've ever seen Ian at Detroit.
No, he's. I'm pretty sure he's like the manager at the Ferndale one.
Okay,
like runs it because day to day. And then there's one other girl that I see there all the time.
Yeah, I think I've seen the same bartender a few times at the 8 Degrees Detroit, but I haven't seen. You know, and I haven't been there too much. I've only been there maybe a half dozen times.
Talk about that 8 Degrees in Detroit.
Yeah,
I've been there the one time when they first opened, which. Good place.
I have not gone there yet.
Well, we need to make it a point to go there. Yeah. It's not a bad spot.
No, I've heard it's pretty
yeah, it's spot. Right across from the old theater, the independent theater that's over
it's
there.
It's kind of in an obscure area, not where you would expect it. But
It's like in a dead zone in Midtown, really.
Hmm.
Like,
well,
there's nothing around it. But it's,
well, I would give another couple MLK years or so, Midtown's going to be hopping.
No, it's north of MLK.
Is it? No, it's south of MLK. You turn left, you go south.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because sure Mac turns into MLK.
Yeah,
and then
I know
you
Mac
turn
turns
left. It. Which
I
is
thought
south.
You turned right on it, right to get there.
No, you turned south because I parked right there. I turned left and parked right in front of the building.
Well, I always go around. I take M10 around. So
see, you're coming from a different way.
Yeah, that's just the way that I always obviously the way that I'm coming from. Since I'm coming from downtown, it's easy for me to hop onto 75. To go right on to M10.
Oh, so you
M10.
Don't hit the 22 red lights that you'll hit in a row?
Yeah, that's pretty much
it's
pretty
coming
much
back,
Ken. It.
It's coming back. Anyways.
Pass some cups out.
Yeah,
what do we got here? What is
we got
this?
Perrin Brewing Black Goat.
What is it?
Black
Goat. Double black lager, aged, of course, your favorite, Ken, bourbon barrels.
Barrels.
This was actually not 10%, though, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Oh, take it back. I can't trust this.
8.5.
You're on the wrong show.
No,
then.
It's actually good. This isn't that bad. You can't taste the liquor.
You were right, Dan, just so you know.
No, I know, because I know where MLK is. If we want to talk about that, but you go straight down MLK and take a left.
I
like this. This is a good one.
This is a good one. You like it?
Yeah, it's good.
If you're coming off M10, it's different, harder to tell because you're coming from the opposite direction.
Yeah, I'm pretty much – I hop right onto M10 and then right off probably at Forest, and then I come back through Cass. So, yeah, I always thought it was before, but oh well. I got to sneeze though, so well, talk.
You go so I'm like – it's like in a weird spot, but we'll have to make
holy
a –
holy shit.
We're waiting for it. You all right?
Was it loud?
A little bit.
I was far away from the microphone.
Yeah, well, you're bouncing off the foam and everything. And
bouncing off the walls off again. The foam.
Yeah, the walls, man.
Bouncing off the walls again.
John Cena.
Thank you. I'm gonna try this black goat now while you guys are talking.
The craft check does say that Perrin is craft.
That's quite interesting because they don't own their business anymore.
Yeah. So – someone pointed this out to me because you have a Victory at Sea scenario. You have a Calm Before the Storm. And I have a
You have a Ben & Jerry's sitting in
front
of you.
Well, I do. I do have a Ben & Jerry's, which is a good beer. I haven't had one. No one can deny
it's
that.
It's one of the most dangerous
beer.
Beers that I've ever had.
And I have a Habanero Sculpin. Now, have you guys noticed with the Ballast Point, the higher the ABV goes, the more scary the pictures go. So I've got the lowest one here. It's just a fish chilling. You have the Calm Before a Storm. It's kind of a scary skeleton.
It's like a pirate skeleton with behind a ship's wheel.
But then you go to this one, which is even higher. It's like the skeleton captain, like
10%.
ready to whoop some ass.
That is kind of – it says this is Calm Before the Storm. Ken has Victory at Sea.
So as the ABV goes up, the picture gets scarier. It gets more aggressive.
We'll have to test this theory for next week. And
someone pointed it out to me. I wish I was original, but like mine's the lowest. It's just a fish.
Just
chilling.
Fish.
And then it goes to just a regular skeleton to the pirate skeleton captain.
Jeez, I wonder what their like 15% is.
Oh, God. Do they have one?
Just a line of skeletons with a guy that has like an axe that says, I killed all of these people. That's all it is.
I just thought it was interesting. And it is kind of true when you look at these. So I was like, oh. Ken's looking up their labels.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm actually looking at it right now. you got the Commodore. It's like a captain in a skeleton with a scimitar in a commander uniform, basically. You got the Grunion, which is
the Grunion. Where do we get this?
I don't know. It's a pale. It looks like it's a pale ale and it's a fish.
It's the Grunion.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some ballast points that we still haven't gotten out here yet.
Yeah,
with the Grunion.
So
it's called Grunion.
What
dead ringer?
What should the Lions do? As we kind of
we're going the big news.
Who'd they hire?
Because
they hired a GM today.
Did they hire the Pats guy?
Yeah, Bob Quinn, director of pro scouting for the Patriots. He's been there since.
He's their GM.
No, he's going to be our GM.
Oh, I meant the Lions. Yeah, the Lions. I don't work for the Lions.
Yeah,
no, so.
He's going to be.
I do. I pay their tickets.
I don't work for the Lions.
I pay their tickets. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I went to their game.
Nick gives them cash. I don't. I'm not a part of the Lions
money,
organization.
Bob Quinn, director of pro scouting. He's been there since 2000. Social media was showing he's pretty good hire.
Wow.
A lot of people liking the hire, especially from a winning organization. One guy thought it was because, oh, he's coming here because he's retiring, or he's going to retire in a few years. And then, some guy's like, he's 39.
Oh, Lord. Geez. Like,
he's got a while.
So he
to
could
go.
Technically be playing in the league still if he was a player.
He probably could, depending on
the
position.
Well, it's like Jim Bob Cooter and Stafford are the same age.
Yeah, they're
they
like
graduate
early,
the same
early 30s.
Yeah,
right?
People don't realize. That's the one thing about football. You're either good at playing it or you're good at like
coaching.
You're one or the other. It's very rare that
you can't. You're probably rarely good at coaching and GMing at the same time,
yeah.
Chip Kelly.
I mean, I don't.
Didn't he already get hired by someone?
No, I don't think so.
I thought someone was talking to him about already getting back, but we'll see.
Dude, I heard Terrell Austin had 5 interviews this year.
I hope we don't lose him. I really hope we don't. We can't. Yeah.
We can't.
Bad news.
We were literally DeAndre Levy away from having a great defense after even losing Fairley and Sue.
Yeah. And you guys should take comfort in this. The 9-win run the table wouldn't have got you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They had to win one of those Minnesota games.
Yeah.
Or the St. Louis game.
The Seattle game.
Seattle game. One of those
they had to win. If they would have ran the table, they would have won St. Louis.
So that would have given them 9. So you're right. They would have had to win one of the Seattle game, which they had.
The San Diego game, which they had.
The one where I said, oh, this is boring. Yeah, my fault. Sorry, guys.
apparently, Chip Kelly did interview for the San Francisco vacancy. There's reports of that.
Those poor San Francisco 49er fans.
They crashed hard.
Yeah, they did.
So what about Calvin Johnson?
I was not expecting him to come out and say I might think about retiring.
Yeah, because that would shock me.
I was not expecting that.
Keep in mind, his rookie year was the 0-16 year.
Yeah.
He's been around a while. He's
2008?
The issue I have with Johnson is the fact that while he is a great player, the fact that he barely practices with the team, and you could tell for how off-timed him and Stafford were all year. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, Stafford's overthrowing him. At this point, you can't blame Stafford.
No, when Johnson
is maybe working out once a week before each game, there's no timing between the two.
You know what ticks me off, too? People are like, oh, is this Stafford's last game here? No, you don't get rid of him.
They're both contracted for, I think, Stafford's for at least 2 years.
And then Johnson's for another 4.
Johnson, so he has to retire or play. Those are his options.
Correct.
Or trade him.
Because you know the Lions will not give up the rights to or let him out of his contract. No. Absolutely. Now, that'd be retarded if
they talked like it was his last game here. I thought his contract was
on. The only way that Johnson goes to another team is if somebody eats up every single penny.
He's expected to make $24 million next year.
Yeah, no one's
going to pay that much.
Then let him retire. You know what? Then let him go. That'll give us...
It wasn't like it was a bad year for Calvin overall.
He had
over 1,200 yards. He had 88 catches. It wasn't his 2012
year. We have more options in 2015. It's not the Calvin Johnson show. You have Tate. You have Riddick coming out of the backfield.
I was just going to say, it's Ken's boy, Theo. I love Theo Riddick.
Oh, he's a good player.
I think he is actually the breakout player.
Probably the best pass receiver out of the backfield. The running back out of the backfield.
I got into an argument and I won a beer last night at a bar making a gentleman's bet. And somebody's like, Theo Riddick. I'm like, he's the best receiving running back in the league. He's had the most receptions. And they're like, no, he's not. I'm like, oh. I'm like, bet.
Did he really?
He bet a beer, and he was the number one.
I believe it. I mean, it's amazing watching him, and that's such an asset.
He's so quick to get – like, first of all, he's quick to get away from someone, and he's quick. Like, he's so agile on his feet.
Yes.
You know, he might not be agile like Amir, but he has the weight that Amir doesn't.
And he doesn't fumble the ball like Amir.
No, he doesn't.
Amir only fumbled like once or twice in the last 8 games, and in comparison to the first 8 games, that's a giant step. And I think everybody, like whoever was talking to Amir, was just like, hey, stop it. More like, don't need the next 2 yards. You're okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing is he was always getting those extra yards. And I think the point he was trying to make is the fact that he was trying to live up to the expectations that were presented to him as opposed to just playing his
game.
People
forget he's a rookie too. And he was also doing the returns for the punts and the kickoffs.
Yeah.
But no, Tate was doing one or the other.
Tate, well, they both. They were splitting times on returns.
Were they?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if one was doing like the punts and the other doing the kickoff, but – he was always trying to force it through, like, to keep going. Yep. It's like, no, just take the down. Just go down.
Yeah, there's no difference between the 20 and the 22-yard line.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know what? If you're at the 50 and you need to get to the 42 or something like that, and you need those extra yards, okay.
Like, if it's fourth down or third down at the end of the game, that's a different story.
Going back to Theo, that was this past season for us, easily his best year.
Oh, yeah.
Long shot.
Absolutely.
Almost 700 yards receiving on 80 catches.
It's amazing.
That's a lot of catches.
Yeah. For a running back who's not your number one.
Yeah, you're looking at 5 catches a game. So that doesn't even mean targets. That's catches a game, yeah. 5.
We don't even know how many targets.
Not even counting about the runs because he was decent. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
he averaged about 3 yards a rush.
And he was the third running back, too, when you line up. You'd even put Joik Bell going for the the line of scrimmage or behind, you know, if you put him in to get to the line of scrimmage.
He's a young guy. He's only 24. So
shocking.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll be smart and they keep him around.
Well, the thing is as sad as it would be, if Calvin goes, that puts so – like we already have a lot of money coming to us in regards to next year for the cap. So much dead money is coming off to where if we lose Calvin – we could do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, it's not depending on Calvin Johnson. It's great to have him, but he is getting older, and if he walks, okay.
Yeah, if he walks, he's going to walk away from the money.
I think the big loss this year was Sue and the other one.
And I tell you what, you're not going to miss Sue next year once Ziggy's got a whole nother off season ahead of him and a whole nother, you know, cycle of off-season football.
The guy I think we're missing, and I think I text this to you guys, was Corey Redding. He's playing for Phoenix right now, or Arizona. I'm sorry. And he's actually injured now. What a loss that was in the middle of that D-line.
Yep.
It's like, holy crap. I'm like, why did we let this guy walk? I mean, because you had Fairley, you had Sue, you had Ziggy, we had Cliff Averill at one time. We had like the best front four.
Is there any guys that you're looking forward to that might have a really big year next year?
Now
that
Ziggy.
Besides,
are you talking out of the draft?
Not out of the draft. Let's take some of the players that we know for certain. Let's take Ziggy.
I think Slay is going to do good. I think he's going to bounce Slay. Back. Okay. Oh, yeah. He had a bad start of the season.
And he also wasn't supposed to be the number one corner.
You can't go on TV, though. Was it week two or week three we played Seattle in prime time?
Week four.
You can't go on there and call yourself Big Play Slay and give up bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Some of those. You can't name yourself Big Play Slay when you're introducing yourself and, like, give up the ball.
What other than Slay, who else on defense do you guys like?
I already mentioned the guy that I like, Levy. I think.
Do
Levy
we still have Caduce? Is he going to be back next year? He's really coming around. Abdu Caduce is coming around really good. Are we going to have Nagata?
I thought it was a 2-year contract.
I thought Haloti only signed a 1-year.
Was it 1-year or 2-year?
God, that was a good ad. When he was around, that was a good ad.
He was traded
to us. I don't know if he's still around. I hope he is, though. Is Glover Quinn still with us after this year?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the
again, another good guy to keep around. The safeties have been really good. And God, I'm forgetting his name. Who was the good safety we had for the longest time? He was injured half the time. This is the first year without him.
Levy?
That's a linebacker. He's a middle linebacker.
I don't know.
Glover signed with us in 2013, so I would probably think either it's up now or he might be up next year.
So, I really think if we just
– You talking about Ihedebo?
No. James Ihedebo? No, yeah, he's still on the team. No, Don before Carey? This. No, Don Carey's a corner. Oh, no, he's a linebacker.
Free safety.
No, he's injured. We drafted him in the third round. God, he had the long braids. God, I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay,
it's kind of making me mad.
That's okay. We still forgive you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not on the team anymore. When he went, it got better.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how the Lions have progressed in regard, you know, especially the second half of this team. It was obvious that Lombardi was definitely holding us back in regards to a lot of the things.
It's amazing how just one coaching change made all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Jim Bob?
I'm talking about Jim Bob.
Jim Bob.
Jim Bob Cooter
what
a difference.
What sucks
he was.
That,
and I can't find I'll find it later. We'll bring
is,
it up.
Is that week. Is that Jim Bob will probably be gone in 2 to 3 years.
Thanks, Martha.
Because well, no, not necessarily. No, yeah, he'll get a job.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he might get a coaching job.
I would be. If the Lions like do really well next year, he'll get a job somewhere.
Now, how do you feel about our coach, though? Do you think?
I think Caldwell should stay.
People are like,
I agree.
They should get rid of him. Like,
well, those are the trolls talking. Like 97-1.
I can't even give you. I can give you dumb things Caldwell has done that pissed me off. Like not
putting Calvin in on the last play
against
Green Bay.
Not pitching a fit at Batgate. You know there are
Batgate
things.
Batgate was probably the one thing that kind of pisses me off.
There are reasons why I don't like Caldwell, but in the same sense, he hasn't given us a reason to fire.
Yeah. He's been the best coach we've had here in a while.
I mean, if you fire Caldwell, who do you get?
That's the thing.
There's people talking about, well, the next best available would be Jim Schwartz.
He's not coming back. Is he still in Buffalo?
Yeah, last time I heard he's still in Buffalo, but
he would take an offensive lineman, Nick Saban.
Jim Schwartz would take an offensive line coach's job at a high school in Alaska before he comes back to Detroit.
That's funny. As they carry him off on the shoulders.
Oh, my God, that Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the difference between a first-round bye and and losing to Dallas.
So, you know, the Lions' schedule for next season has been – not the dates, but at least the teams.
Well,
the teams have been released.
Well, yeah, it's based on the NFC East. And the AFC North.
AFC South.
It's AFC South, okay.
And, of course, the NFC North because they're division rivals.
And then it breaks down base – and then we get the same division – or the same rank as us in the other NFC divisions.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to play at New Orleans again, I think.
Yes, again.
I'm not scared of that.
And then we play at home against St. Louis. We have home games against Philly and Washington. Away games again in frickin' New York and Dallas.
Jets then, or
that
Giants.
Dallas one yeah. is going to be
the Giants.
It's going to be Giants, yeah.
And then the AFC games will be at home against Jacksonville and Tennessee, and on the road against Houston and Indy. Yes.
You can't complain about that.
That's very a favorable schedule.
Houston scares me. They're a good team. When they started like Detroit and turned out to be good,
yeah.
I think they finished
9-7, winning the division or something like that.
Yeah.
And Indy's in turmoil with their whole head coaching thing, and then Andrew Luck getting hurt. Jacksonville is, well, just Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, you got to be careful. Blake Bortles is very good.
I'll tell you what, though. He might not be able to get you the wins, but he's one hell of a fantasy quarterback.
That team is a couple of players away from being damn good, so you got to be careful, Jacksonville.
And then you have Tennessee.
Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking for a head
coach. Delaney Walker.
I'm
stretching for Tennessee right now.
It should definitely be an 11 or 12 win season for sure.
Yeah. The way it's lined up.
I will say St. Louis scares me. I will say that.
Are they?
But they're at home though, so it might not be.
So when's the last time we didn't play Arizona? Because we seem to play them every year. We always are at the bottom of the barrel or at the top with them. It's kind of funny.
This is the one year that we're not playing,
or we're playing the West. One or the other, we end up playing.
We're going to come back, talk a little bit of football. Yeah, I'm going to talk about my trip to Chicago.
We did go long on the football.
I do want to bring up the NHL All-Star game, though, because I think that's definitely something discuss with Dylan Larkin coming. So,
I think Cops is on the TV, too.
We'll be right back after a few minutes. And we are back.
What is this?
Was that Jewel playing at the end?
I think it might have been. It looks
like.
We'll
save yourself.
As I'm looking at how I got up to deck A, name that tune in only four notes.
You remember they would show just like the hand? Oh, no, you're out. Nick Lee, you're done.
Hold on. He's number 7. All right.
Dan, how you doing? You remember
how
name that tune? They would show the guy just playing the piano. They'd just show his hand play. Like, oh, you have to name that tune. Like, this is whatever bullshit song no one cares about. Like, I'm not even sure what show that or what channel that show used to be on.
Name that tune?
Yeah.
It was like on USA or something.
I don't know. So anyway, story time from
You went to Chicago.
Went to Chicago.
All right.
Over this past
weekend. You had the heated thing you were telling. We were talking about it last week. You guys had heated cabana.
That's basically what they refer to. But it sucked because you felt the heat and the cold, which makes the cold that much worse.
No, I know what you're talking about.
So in regards to the stadium itself, really nice stadium. If you've never been to Soldier Field, really, really nice.
Way down south in Chicago. Like on the lake, about to turn around the lake. But,
yep.
Yeah.
So we went to the to watch the game. A lot of fun. I withheld singing Forward Down the Field until they had their own theme song, which is called Bear Down. So every time they score, it goes Bear Down, Chicago Bears.
Wait a minute, it's not the Super Bowl Shuffle?
It's not the Super Bowl. They do not do the Super Bowl Shuffle after every score. Oh, no.
That would be amazing. Is it like Mongo McMichael on the screen, like dance?
So once I learned that they had, because it took them like the first half and to even score. So I started, and I was the only one singing Forward Down the Field, and it was so funny. So this guy. Behind me, he's like, Detroit fucking sucks.
Oh, well, we swept Chicago.
And
so
I go,
wait a minute.
I go, beat you twice. And he looks at me and I'm like, dude, you're not going to do anything.
Didn't we beat them in the standings too? I'm pretty
Chicago finished last in the
draft. Detroit's in like the second half of the draft, believe it or not. They're like 16th.
Yeah, so we.
Guess I'd be putting in the first half, but whatever.
Well, I guess it's kind of like – it's literally the halfway point because isn't there only 31 teams?
Well, it's 32 teams.
Oh, is it 32? I thought it was 31 for some reason.
We'd be the last of the first half. Like, so there's a lot of teams worse than us.
So I was – it was just so funny like the entire time. So I'm the only one singing Forward Down the Field after every touchdown. And I'm like my friends who are with me are looking at me like I don't know this person.
I don't know this guy.
Who is this guy?
So like
I would have been singing it too.
Oh yeah, I was having a like definitely want to go next year to Soldier Field to watch the game. Whether
hopefully
it's cold,
it's not January 4th or January 3rd.
It wasn't really all that cold.
you know, as much. I think it was cold because we had those heated cabanas that was making it that much colder.
I hate outside.
But I
football.
Mean, the I'll show you guys the pictures. But we had beautiful seats for only like $70.
It's not really. That's that.
You sent me the one picture. You put it on.
Yes, yeah, I showed you the picture of us walking into the stadium.
That's
but
what
there's,
it was.
There's
okay.
photos of us at the game. But it was definitely a lot of fun, and just the Chicago Bears fans. So it was the last drive for Detroit, and there was three timeouts left for Chicago.
Right.
And their fans are literally bleeding out of the stadium. And I'm like looking because they're only down by a score. Like they're only down by
they're
four.
They're down
by
4 points. Yeah.
So they have just as much faith as Lions fans
so
do.
I'm looking. I'm like, you guys have three timeouts. What the hell are you doing? And I'm calling them out on leaving the game. I'm like, guys, the game is far from over right now. And everybody's just like, Chicago Bears.
Oh, Jay Cutler. Is Jay Cutler still the quarterback?
Yeah,
Oh, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, Jeffrey was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey didn't play.
I think he's been hurt for like better half of the season.
Jeffrey was there the first game because we were at the first game. But yeah, Jeffrey was hurt that game, but it was just so crazy to see. And looking at the fact that I'm going to have to definitely check it out the next time. Cause over in your area, I should say there's a lot of non Lions fans. Like there's a lot of
in
people
where my seats at the,
yeah, there's,
yes.
There's a lot of Indy fans when we saw Indy, so, there's a lot of Dallas fans.
Well, actually it's funny cause we've been at Ford Field now since 2002. So we've been there for at least
long time,
almost at least a decade.
Yep.
And I just found out at the last home game that the seats to my left, they're the first two in the aisle on the row. They're actually owned by somebody, and I didn't even know. I'm like, there's someone different every time someone goes there, but a corporation owns them.
That's normal.
So, I get that, but you're absolutely right. Now, if I can go back a little story, when Philly came and played us one year, it was almost all Philly fans in my section.
Oh wow,
it was terrible.
Do you guys
terrible? This is back when Donovan used to play for them.
The Philly fan on YouTube. Have you guys seen this guy?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, this guy! I believe he's definitely a diehard Philly fan, and he watches. He's definitely over the top. So I don't know if he's acting or if he's true to his nature. But when he like talks about it and like so hyped, and then like, how the fuck are you not going to cover Calvin Johnson? Seriously, rule number one against playing the Detroit Lions: cover fucking Calvin Johnson. And like you're watching him, and this guy is hysterical.
Did he talk about LeSean McCoy?
He might have, but there is one because remember Philly beat New England this year.
Yes.
And he goes somewhere along the lines of, I will suck everyone's dick if Philly could beat New England.
Hold on.
And
Miami beat New England. So.
Yeah. So you're.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Oh, God. So they're all both looking at their phones and computer.
I was looking up something. I was trying to see what's going on at Smalls tonight.
I'm looking to see if I can find the guy's name.
Well, there's a lot of – if you Google Philly fan YouTube, there's a lot of videos of the same guy that pop up.
Is it everybody's dick?
Well, the first one is like Eagles trade McCoy, WTF, with a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay, then he's definitely...
Buffalo didn't make the playoffs either. Get over it.
His bedroom is all decked out in Philly stuff.
I can't wait, speaking of Buffalo, to watch the four-time fall documentary, that 30 for 30 on Netflix.
That'll actually be good.
It's already on Netflix.
Is it? I'll have to go watch that.
So one thing, and I'm going to cut us off in regards to football, because I do want to talk about the change that's going on in regards
now
to the NHL All-Star
game. I just found out yesterday that they've changed the format again to – it was a two-team format.
Is that U.S. versus the world anymore?
It's a four-team format.
I don't think they've done that for a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
Into the All-Star game
it's a four-team format with four teams each division.
All-Star?
They're gonna have three
20-minute games.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so they'll have three 20-minute games, and then the winners of the first two will face each other.
Are they
desperate
to do something ridiculous?
The reason why they changed one of them was because they had All-Star fan voting, And because in a glitch in the system, basically the entire country of Latvia rooted for their one person in the NHL. I don't remember his name. But it basically destroyed the whole van voting thing because this guy who's not good at all made an all-star game. So
you can't bitch when the U.S. loses to Finland. You can't bitch about voting in hockey. Sorry.
But again, it's two different. You get the IOC versus the NHL committee. So what's great is that it's going to have four different divisions. So you'll have three 20-minute games. The big issue is that you're not going to see a lot of all-stars from the same team.
Yeah.
Like last year, you had a bunch of Chicago Blackhawks guys on the same team. This year, the only Red Wing – well, last year, I think the only Red Wing was Jimmy.
Jimmy Howard was the only Red Wing on the hockey – on the Olympic team.
Yeah, that too.
Last time.
Yeah. Yep. Now you got Dylan Larkin this year.
Dylan Larkin's definitely going to be a force to reckon with in the coming years. Yep. Somebody was talking shit about him on Facebook, and I got confused. I'm like – what? Like,
I don't know what's going on.
It's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Like, I'm sorry. This guy has a bunch of points, goals, assists. He's not
But I'm
bad
talking shit. It's not Jimmy Howard. It's not Mike Vernon. It's not Darren McCarty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not Darren McCarty. I don't care if he's 45.
It's a very interesting format, especially
speaking of 45, Jaromir Jagr is on the team.
He's team captain.
Yes, he is.
Hey, if he can still play, we had Chelios. Chelios is like 48 when he was playing or whatever.
The team, Jagr's captain of the Atlantic Division team, the Central Division team, which would be Chicago, for example. Patrick Kane leading that one.
Ovechkin's
leading the Metro Division for out of the Capitals, and then John Scott, captain of the Pacific.
You know, let's talk about Patrick Kane and how he failed in the Olympics. I know this is like 2 years in the making, but you get to the finals, you can't score one goal. I mean, what are you doing?
I'm looking at it, and I was kind of confused, and I think it's Jonathan Toews, who's the rapist from Chicago. Isn't that right?
No. Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, Jonathan Toews is the rapist from Chicago. Rapist,
yeah. Oh, he really?
Yeah.
That's kind of a big name.
Yeah, they actually removed him from the front of NHL 2015 or 16 or whatever because
and like I don't like follow hockey. Like I'll follow football more, and I don't really watch hockey till the Super Bowl's over. No, this is actually kind of big.
Yeah, this happened as I'm looking it up right now, just to make sure that it is him. Not that I care because I don't like him.
It wasn't Toews.
No, I don't remember who it was then.
Now you
can look it up.
That's gonna bother
you. Look
the
it
hell
up. Anyways, it was some major guy. It was either Toews or Kane, one of the two.
Patrick Kane's even bigger. That's the funny thing.
Potential rape in regards to.
Come on, you can't control yourself. Like
it's Patrick Kane.
It was a Patrick
You're
Kane.
You're making what's so? Is he like under investigation?
I don't know like what's going on in regards to the investigation for it, but nonetheless,
Jesus, it's so easy to control yourself. What the fuck are you doing? Especially when you're
tell
like
that the Johnny Manziel.
Oh God! Oh, you want to talk about blonde wig?
We'll save that for the next episode of Better.
Wasn't his name Bobby Manziel or something?
Something. No, you're right. Well, let's talk about that next week. But Jesus Christ. I hate dropping like bad words like that, but like you know, you're blessed to be in that position and be that talented, and you just screw it up. Like it's like an NBA player. What are we doing now?
So Patrick Kane did not see rape charges.
Oh no,
no.
Okay,
it never even made it there.
Well, he probably paid someone off. I don't like Patrick.
So Johnny Manziel with the blonde Johnny wig and Manziel. The mustache.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
You're under concussion protocol and you're in Vegas wearing a blonde wig.
And
then you have to give someone your credit card because you didn't have enough money. And then everyone immediately knows who you are. It's like, oops.
He's basically just kissed his, I don't know.
How do you
Cleveland will probably still keep his ass.
Like, how do you flush your career down the toilet? You do that. Like, come on. Yeah,
he's a moron.
You got all year if you want to go do this. Sorry, you know.
This is the time for you to do it.
Yeah.
You're not playing the playoffs.
No, that's not that.
You're not doing anything.
You wait 1 week. You don't go there New Year's Eve with a blonde wig. You wait, and then you go do it. Like, oh, all right, who cares?
Yeah, the 1 week that people might think that you're there.
Yeah, I mean, even consider for the fact of looking at how much money he made. He didn't make that much for in regards to what what he like plans to do with his life if he's going to throw it away like this. Like, it's not like he made like $20 million and he can walk away. He only made $2 million.
Yeah.
It's not like Joey Herring.
Someone you're paying taxes on that. So yeah, good luck with that $2 million. If they let you go and no one else takes you, you're screwed.
The other big thing,
you might go to the Canadian Football League.
There you go.
They pay what, $50,000 Canadian or
The other big sports news that came out this week, I don't know what your guys' quick take on it. Alan Trammell snubbed from the Hall of Fame. It was his last year of eligibility. He will not be making the Hall of Fame.
Is this like Lou Whitaker getting snubbed or didn't?
Well, I think he got like about 40% of the vote. You need 75 in order to make it.
They'll get in with that committee that can still vote him in. It'll get him in.
The special committee?
Yeah. Whatever that committee is that can put him
in. Yeah, they had a guy in there. They put like a couple – I think it was last year or 2 years ago. They put a guy in from 1902 or something like that. Something from a long time ago.
Trammell and Whitaker both didn't get in.
Yeah.
What about Pete Rose?
We can have a whole show because they voted on that.
The new guy after the new commissioner is just like nope, and I'm like
that's terrible. One of the best players ever.
Only two guys made the Hall of Fame.
It was Griffey Jr.
and Mike Piazza.
Was it last year that no one got in, or 2 years ago one got in?
No, I don't think. Well,
if it wasn't last year, it was 2 years ago. People went, nope, like zero people got voted in.
It could be the case.
Yeah, it's definitely. Did you see NFL release their Hall of Fame finalists? I guess is what it's called. Kurt Warner is on that list.
Should be.
Yep.
Edgerrin James is on that list. Yep. I'm trying to think who else. I was hoping.
I'll tell you my favorite Edge story is when they used to have that show. I don't know if it was on ESPN, but like Madden Nation. And like some, they like go to this place. It's like Trick Daddy and Edgerrin James. It was like the most ghetto people hanging out with like the black guy playing like NFL like Madden or whatever year it was. It was like the greatest thing. Some guy named Brett Favre.
He played for the Falcons. Is that?
Oh, what is this? Me? What is this?
I don't know. I gotta figure out.
Nick's got something going on. Nick's got Smite Day 2 going on over there, too.
I have the list of the finalists.
Terrell
Davis should be. These are all people that should be in.
Tony Dungy.
How is he not in already? Yeah. Or is he not eligible till now?
Tony Dungy.
He stopped coaching in 2008.
I think
it's 5 years?
So.
Yeah.
Well,
that guy should totally be in.
You got people who played until 2010, like Brett Favre. Terrell Owens.
Morton Anderson. I think he still has the
trying
points.
To think who that is.
He's a kicker. He has the NFL record on points scored, I think.
I think that was more the one than, where the kicker had the kicker for Minnesota had like the Morton to Hall of Fame badge on it and got fined for having a non-normal jersey.
Morton Anderson played for 22 years, started in 1982 and then retired in 2004.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Oh, he will be very, very easily.
Yeah, he'll definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Orlando Pace.
I think who that is.
He was offensive lineman for the Rams for the longest time.
All right, lineman.
Yeah, he played 10 years for the Rams and one for the Bears. So
John Lynch,
free safety.
Free safety, Tampa Bay.
Probably should be in.
Marvin Harrison.
Oh, he's not in?
Nope.
What the?
2008 was his last year.
Wow.
He played 12 years in Indianapolis.
Alan Faneca.
Don't know who that is.
He was a lineman for the Steelers.
How is Marvin Harrison not in the Hall of Fame?
Why don't you ask him?
Maybe we can get him
on the show. I'll reach out to him.
You should.
My old man's favorite player, Ken Stabler.
Is that your
dad's? That was my dad's favorite player.
I'm just stuck on Edge and Marvin Harrison both not in the Hall of Fame.
You have Dick Stanfell, former Lions player. He played guard from 1952 to 55.
during the
that's during my day, my prime time. During my prime time,
I was gonna say when the Lions were a is that dynasty? Yeah, dynasty, yep. At the time.
Yeah, the time.
My boys back then. I was at
and
those
then
games.
Edward DiBartolo, the owner of the San Francisco 49ers from 1977 to 2000.
I would vote for that. That those Niners should.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a couple other ones that I've neglected.
Just most importantly, let's bring it back up. Edge from the greatest college football team ever,
Miami. Oh, well, Edger and James.
Oh gosh,
dude, Marvin Harrison,
I should have known that was coming.
He played at the U during like the U's worst time ever.
Edge
90s.
Was
he was a great, yeah.
And the funny thing is, and you guys will probably attest to someone I talked about someone else before. People who leave Indy, maybe Manning is the exception. You leave Indy and you suck when you leave Indy.
Yeah.
Possibly. Edge, I want to say, went to Arizona after he left Indy.
He did. I believe he went to Arizona.
Yeah, he went to Seattle for a year or two.
And didn't do anything, but those guys that played – Marvin didn't leave. Harrison never left.
No, yeah, Marvin Harrison was loyal to that team.
Those guys either don't leave or they leave and they suck. And it's kind of weird, but – and that was under the Dungy era. Which those guys all love that guy. And how is he not in the Hall of Fame? Wow. We could have a whole show on that.
I know. We got to wrap it up definitely for today. I appreciate Barrett for coming on earlier today and talking about Craft Check.
Download Craft Check.
Yep. CraftCheckApp.com is their website. Remember, you can find us better on draft.com.
No ads.
You can
I'm impressed what he said.
Follow us on Untapped, Better on Draft podcast on Untapped.
Some jerk still has our name.
And don't forget, no matter how good you think your beer is, we think it's better.
Oh, you didn't drop the other one.
Shut up.